Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, ladies. I am absolutely excited to be back with you again for our Women's Online Bible Study. It has been such an honor and such a blessing just to be able to study the Word of God and to pray with you and be on this journey with you as you become the woman that God created you to be. I don't take that lightly. So I'm so thankful to the Lord for this opportunity. I am your host, Sonia Walker. I am the visionary for the Essence of a Woman's Ministry. And so we're going to go ahead and we're going to get started. We started the online Bible study 2 weeks ago, and I have good news. We've been doing it at the library as well. And so on last week, we did it at the library. And so this is just a recap of me teaching it now online. Also, too, our guest teachers start coming next week. And so I felt led of the Lord to finish this portion of the Bible study. So not only will you have one Bible study this week, you'll also have another one on next Monday because I will be at the library on tomorrow. So nevertheless, let's open up with prayer and let's get started. Lord, we just thank you and we praise you, God, for this opportunity. We thank you, God, so much for all that you do. Lord, I ask that you would show us, God, how to guard our heart and how to cover our ears and how to protect our gates. And so, Lord, we be so careful to give you all the praise, all the honor, and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, ladies, just a quick recap of the last Bible study. Remember, you can go onto our website at eowbiblestudy.com, and you can click on Listen, and it will have your Bible study notes. And you can also listen at the same time. I always recommend that you listen and look at your notes, or listen first, take your own notes, and then go back and look at our notes and just compare. And so if you feel like you missed the scripture or anything like that, just know that is in your Bible study note. Okay? So when we started talking about what happens when you decide that you want more out of life. What happened? We first discovered that this is not a fleshly battle, that this is spiritual warfare, that when you decide that you want more out of life, things begin to happen in the spirit realm, and how the enemy quickly comes to question you, and how that external dialogue creates internal conflict, so that because he wants you to doubt, he wants you to be unsure. He wants you to be unstable in your thinking. He really don't want you to move forward in what you just decided to do, right? And so we discussed that on the first lesson. And so tonight, I want to continue in that same vein. So our topic today is going to be guard your heart. That after you decide that you want more out of life, you now must guard the decision that you just made. All right, and we're going to start out in Proverbs 4:23-27. Vigilant, watch over your heart. Another interpretation says, guard your heart. That's where life starts. Don't talk out of both sides of your mouth. Avoid careless banter, white lies, and gossip. Keep your eyes straight ahead. Ignore all sideshow distractions. Watch your step, and the road will stretch out smooth before you. Look neither right nor left. Leave evil in the dust. It says, guard your heart, for out of it, out of what? Out of your heart. What do we learn about the heart? The heart is the seat of your reflection. In your heart lies your mind, your will, and your emotion. So when he says, guard your heart, guard your eyes, guard your ears, guard your mouth, for out of it, because you have to remember there are three yet one, your heart, your mind, your will, and your emotion, your mind, your will, and your emotions are all located in your heart. So if something is affecting your heart, it's going to affect your mind, it's going to affect your will, and it's going to affect your emotion. So when he says, guard your heart, guard your heart as a whole, for out of it flows the issues of life, right? So I want to go to Genesis. Go to Genesis chapter 1. We're going to go to verse 26. And if you have your highlighter, I hope you do, or your pen and paper, I want you to write these things down that I give you as I read them. Genesis 1:26. It says, God spoke, let us make human beings, I'm reading from the message, let us make human beings in our image and make them reflect our nature, right? So I want you to underline, let us make man in our image and after our likeness. That's number one. So the first thing God tells us is that he made us in his image, and according to his likeness. God is three yet one. He's God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They are three, yet they are one. Right? In our heart, there are three things, yet they are one. Hope you're following me. It is your, in your heart is your mind, your will, and your emotions. That's three, yet they are one. God is three, yet he's one. He's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, three, yet one. He made us three, yet we are one. We are body, soul, and spirit. Three, yet we are one. So when he said, let us, God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, let us make man in our image, our, underline us and our. That's the three, the Trinity. In our image and according to our likeness. And then he says, and let them have dominion, underline dominion, over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth. Listen to that. Over all the earth. He has given us dominion over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. Now, I want you, as you're looking at Genesis 1 and 26, he tells you who you are in him. Then he told, then he gives you us dominion over the earth and over everything that is on the earth. Dominion means that you have power. If you keep your finger right there, and if you go over to Genesis 3, chapter 1, in the first lesson we talked about how the enemy came in to talk to Eve, right? He was a creeping thing, right? And how he persuaded her. But the problem with Eve is that she didn't know that she had dominion and power over that creeping thing. She didn't know that she had dominion and power over the enemy. I want you to look at Genesis 1 and 26, and I want you to compare it to Genesis 3 and 1. The first thing God told you is who you are and what you possess. You have power. That means that when you make a decision that you want more out of life, the first thing you have to understand is that you have dominion. You have the power to do what you said you were going to do. But the enemy comes in to persuade you to do something totally different than what you said. But you have dominion. You have power. go back to verse Genesis 1. Now we're going to go to 27. It says, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, underline blessed, and God said unto them, this is what he says. He says, number one, I made you in my image and according to my likeness. Number two, I've given you dominion. Then he tells them, I want you to be what? Fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth and subdue it. Do you get that? Underline fruitful, underline multiply, underline replenish, and underline subdue it. And he tells them again, you have dominion. So what ends up happening is that the enemy knows, and when you decide that you want more out of life, that you just made a decision to what, be fruitful, to multiply, to increase, to grow, to become, to replenish means that I'm going to fill it up again. I'm not going to be empty. I'm going to replenish the earth, right? And then he says, you have dominion. You have authority. You have the victory. God is already telling you, you already have the victory. But the enemy comes in, remember in the first class, and if you didn't get a chance to listen, you can go back and listen to it. But we talked about in the first class how he comes with suggestions and ideas and thoughts to try to get you to change your mind, for you to become unstable in your thinking, right? So remember, let's talk about how does that external dialogue become internal conflict. Right? Remember we talked about our gate, the gate, our eyes, our ears, our mouth. Our gate are our eyes, our ears, and our mouth. We talked about it's not what goes in a man that defiles you, because what goes in you, I'm talking about the negative, what goes in you should be digested and eliminated. He compares it to food. He says, but what defiles us is that we eat, we take in all these things, all the negativity, all of what other people say, well, who we cannot be, what we cannot do. How are you going to do that? You're not going to be able to do that. We take all those things in, like food. We chew on it. We swallow it. And then we regurgitate it. So now we are taking on what they said. We're taking on the negativity. We're taking on the I can't. We're taking on I'm not able. You're taking on I'm not worthy. Right? But God has already told us that he made us in his likeness and in his image, and that we have dominion, power, and authority over the earth, over everything. We have dominion. But what the enemy wants, he wants us to keep regurgitating, that means to vomit up what we have eaten, and he wants us to keep chewing on the negative, chewing on the I can't, right? So that you will stay in the same place that you're in. In class, I drew on the board a house. The house represented us, right? And in that house is where we are. God compares us to houses. He compares us to cities. When he tells us to guard our gates, to guard our heart, because the gate is the doorway to our heart, right? And so, what are gates? How are gates important? to us. In the Bible, gates were very strong. They were heavily defended. They opened during the day and closed at night. They provided, listen to this, they provided protection for the inhabitants. They provided protection for the inhabitants, right? So when God says in Scripture, I inhabit the praises of my people, meaning that I am no longer I'm not an outsider, but I am coming in to your situation, I'm coming into your heart, I'm coming into your life, he says, I inhabit the praises. When we praise God, he inhabits, he comes in, he sits with us, he dines with us. He covers us. He protects us. And so the enemy don't mind you going to church. He just don't want you to praise the Lord. You go to church and you be like, oh, we don't take all that. Yeah, it do. He said, let everything that have breath, what? Praise ye the Lord. Then he says, for the name of the Lord, what is a strong tower, a wall, where the righteous can run in therein and be safe. So there is safety in the presence of the Lord. Okay? So let's move on. Let's move on. Okay, so let's go to Proverbs 25 and 28. Proverbs. Okay. It says, he that has no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down, that wall. So not only do we need to have gates, but we are to have walls. Because you can have walls and not have gate. But you cannot have gate and not have wall. Because gates are attached to wall. So what he's saying here, if you cannot rule your own spirit, in other words, after you decide that you want more out of life, you cannot allow the enemy to run in and out of your heart. You cannot allow him to run in and out of your thoughts. You cannot allow him. You got to put up some walls. And not only do you need to put up some walls, but protection, you need to close the gate. Do y'all get what I'm saying? So you need to guard. We're talking about guarding your heart. So you need to put up the wall. You need to put up, close the gate. Now, here's the thing. You cannot guard your heart and your flesh. Because what that creates is bitterness, resentful. You being bitter, resentful, and it holds unforgiveness. So we understand that you can't do this in your flesh. This is a spiritual battle. So we have to do it in the spirit. We have to do it in Christ, right? So that we can have a healthy heart. So when you decide that you want more out of life, you immediately have to close the gate and have your wall. Okay? So he says you're like a city without walls where the enemy can just come in and out. Whatever he say, you do. Go on. We're going to go to Matthew 12. Matthew 12, starting at verse 43. Okay. Matthew 12 and 43. It says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, that means he left your house, right? He walked through dry places, seeking rest and find none. What is a dry place? Remember, I just told you to underline, be fruitful. to multiply and to replenish the earth, right? Not only do he want you a dry place, write this down, a dry place means a place where you're not productive, a place where nothing grows, a place where you are barren, the place where you are unfruitful, the place where you are busy but not productive. See, the enemy doesn't mind you being busy. He doesn't want you to be productive. There is a difference. See, he comes against, see, because here's the thing. He came to talk to Eve before she could be fruitful, before she could multiply and replenish the earth. She didn't understand that she had dominion. That means that she had the power and the authority to rebuke the enemy, to stop him from coming in. But she opened up her gates, her eye gate, her ear gate, and then she began to say what he said. Doubt and fear set in. Okay? So we understand what a dry place is. Verse 44, then he, talking about the unclean spirit, said, I will return into my house. Uh-oh, wait a minute. Didn't we say you're like a house? From whence I came, and when he has come, he find it empty, swept, and decorated. The Bible says garnished. In another interpretation, it says decorated. So imagine, if you will, okay, you decide, oh, you know what? I'm going to better my life. I'm getting rid of all of this negativity. I'm getting rid of the enemy. I'm getting rid of these people. I'm getting rid of this foolishness. I'm getting rid of all of these things. So he leaves. He go look for another dry place. See, because when he was around you, he allowed you, he kept you in a dry place. He said, you know what? I want more out of life. So I began to put things in order. I began to make decisions. But he said he came back and found it, what? He found it empty, swept, and garnished, decorated. So when he came back to you, he said, you know what? I'm going to go back. This is what they call a familiar spirit. Remember I said earlier, it's not what goes in you that defiles you, right? But it's what comes out of you, what you keep regurgitating. The enemy wants you to keep, he wants you to stay in the same place, doing the same thing, talking about the same thing, talking about what you're going to do, but never do it, because that's who he is. He left and he came back. Right? Okay, so imagine he's left. He comes back. How was he able to get close to the wall? How was he able to get close to the house? There was no wall around it. How was he able to see in? There was no gates protecting it. He says he came back and he found you empty. Do you not know that you can be beautiful and be empty? That you can have your hair done, your makeup done, dressed to the nine and still be empty? What does he mean when he said he came back and he found you empty? That means that you did not allow and you did not ask God to come in. See, because you can't serve two masters. You either hate one or love the other. Both of them cannot reside in the same house. Remember in the first class, we talked about being double-minded, which means unstable, which means to have two souls. Part of you is set on God, and part of you is set on the world. It says, how can water come out of the same fountain? How can bitter and sweet water come out of the same fountain? The bitter is going to cast out the sweet. Do y'all get what I'm saying? So you cannot, when you decide that you want more out of life, you got to ask the Holy Spirit to come in. God, I want to get my life together. Because you can't do this by yourself. That's flesh. We need God. But what we want to do, We want to do what we don't ask God what is his will, what is his plan for our life. What we want to do is do what we want to do and tag God's name to it. But he's not in it, and he's not a part of it. So now what you're doing is you're making decisions, but you're empty. You're trying to move forward without God. But the Bible declares, unless God builds the house, those who labor, labor in vain who build it. Aren't you tired of laboring in vain? Aren't you tired of doing the same thing over and over again? Aren't you tired of doing things that come up to nothing? So the Spirit comes back. Verse 47. 45. Then he go and take with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself. And they enter in. Why the hell was they able to enter in? No gates, no walls. And dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first state. I gave this example in class on last Monday at the library because I think this will help us understand. When God calls you out of something, or you decide this relationship is not good for you, you go back to what's familiar. You might be gone a week, this, that, and the other. But then you let that person come in, back in. No gate, no wall. You let them come back in. And now that relationship has gotten even worse. Because when you are in the familiar, you're in a dry place. When you are in a familiar, a familiar spirit, you are unproductive. Jesus said, and I'm not going to go to the scripture, but it is in your notes. He said he saw a fig tree afar off. He said it had many leaves. But when he went up to the tree, it had leaves. It looked productive, but it didn't have any fruit. Are you bearing fruit, or do you just look busy? God told you in Genesis 1 and 26 and 27, he says, be fruitful. But when you allow the enemy to come in, after you've made a decision that you want more out of life, and you doubt, because the Bible says, do not think that you're going to receive anything from the Lord. When you're double-minded, you're not going to receive anything from the Lord because your mind is not set. Right? So, or do you look busy and not productive? Are you bearing any fruit in your life? Because the enemy wants to keep you where? In a dry place. Where you're unproductive, where you're barren, where you're unfruitful, where you're not growing, where you're not becoming who God called you to be. So this is what it means to guard your heart. That after you made a decision that you want more out of life, you have to put it inside the wall, put it inside a prayer. Put it inside of God. God, is this your will for me? God, I want more out of life. I need for you to protect me. I can't do this on my own. Because, Daddy, if I try to do this on my own, the enemy is going to come back in. I need for you to be my shield. I need for you to be God over my life. And so, ladies, this is the lesson. So I pray that you guard your heart with all diligence. So just remember, you can go to the website, eowbiblestudy.com, at any time you're free, and do the Bible study. And I pray that this was a blessing for you. Our class has ended, but just remember, we have another class on next Monday. So until then, I love you. God bless you, and just know that I am praying for you. Have a good one.